Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name's Allison Klein. I'm delighted to have Sandra Rivera back with us. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you, Allison. Glad to be here.
We last talked when we were at Mobile World Congress. You have a unique opportunity as an executive to manage Intel's relationship in one of the largest technology transformations going on in the entire industry, the network transformation within telco and enterprise. And I just wanted to ask you, what is it like to lead an organization and work with an industry around such an amazing opportunity?
I suppose, like with everything else, it's a bit of eating the elephant one bite at a time. I don't think about it in those terms of, wow, we're leading this enormous effort that takes many years, because indeed, it does take many years to realize the goals of a complete market transformation, this inflection point that we're living through. But, you know, we get up every day and engage with the customers and try to find the answers to the biggest challenges. And I would say a lot of that is just really active listening and unfettered thinking in terms of the art of the possible. It's exhilarating, it's challenging, it's important, and we do feel a lot of responsibility and come to work every day just trying to make it happen.
When you look at the way the conversation has shifted in this space, you know, we started with technology value proposition, and Intel works in technology transformation all the time. We can spot kind of the key milestones in the conversation as to where the industry's at. People are now talking about use cases and various beachhead markets where we think that virtualized networking solutions are going to play an immediate role. We hear customers like AT&T talking about percentage of their operations that they want to run virtualized over time. These are concrete plans. What is your sense for where we're at with that? And when you look at all the various use cases, were they the ones that we predicted when we created the standards for this technology, or are they different?
So when I look back at our journey, it really did start very much with that need to prove what was technically possible. Mm-hmm. And it was anchored in a lot of technology feasibility work that we did early on with KT and China Mobile and BT and Telefonica. We then entered into a phase of what could be commercially viable, what would be attractive to deploy in this manner, which led to a lot of studies and proof of concepts and even early field trials around what would be the challenges and the appeal to invest in deploying in this new architectural paradigm. And out of every margin dollar that gets generated, who gets 50 cents, who gets a quarter, who gets a penny, and then what is that relative motivation to invest? The conversation's really turned now into what is possible in terms of growing that top line and what are some of those new services that you can create when you have programmable computing in the network. But getting to that point where we can deploy at scale is bringing a whole nother set of challenges. Not so much technology challenges, they really become these big business challenges that we're trying to address.
I want to talk to you about a few areas that I've seen as the zeitgeist of where the industry is focusing. Here are the gaps. The first is management. We deliver virtualized services. We need to have a common framework for managing them within an open environment. Where do you think we're at with that? And what do you think the industry needs to do to deliver the full control capability that providers are going to require?
We've spent a lot of the effort both in the etc/NFV specifications as well as now recently with the OPNFV reference implementation work around the NFV infrastructure, that foundational substrate, that physical layer, as well as the interfaces to the virtualized infrastructure manager, the virtualized network functions, and the interface to the virtualized network functions manager, and kind of lower in the stack. But ultimately, there is an orchestration layer that needs to ensure that there's optimal workload placement and optimal performance to service the requirements of the application and the services themselves. Clearly, there's attempts in OpenStack to address that challenge, but there has not been enough focus around how you have hardened carrier grade solutions, which, by the way, is not just a communication service provider problem statement. It's something that the enterprises also need and value, like financial services, I think we've talked about before, and the hyperscale cloud. So that's an area that we're putting more focus on, Intel certainly contributing, but the industry recognizing that we need more focus and capability around a hardened high reliability solution, and that it does need to be open because most orchestration solutions today tend to be kind of a roll your own because there hasn't been something broadly available to address the end user requirements.
What are the key challenges that you see in ensuring that virtualized networks have the same security capabilities as their predecessors? And what is the interplay between hardware and software within that solution?
So the security problem is one that is very real, very palpable, very challenging, and the bar seems to be getting higher every day. We know for a fact that having hardware-based security is the best answer. Sometimes it's not the quickest answer, and so having some combination of innovation all the way down in the silicon, things like trusted execution technology so that you can create these trusted compute pools and trusted boot, and geotagging to know that your information is not leaving a certain country. So having that all the way down the silicon is really critically important, but we need to innovate in software before you're able to perhaps roll some of those capabilities back into hardware. We believe that we are making good headway, but we have to keep innovating and investing in that area.
The third area that I wanted to talk to you about was integration of solutions. And it seems that another byproduct of moving to an open industry standard solution base where customers have choice of hardware providers and software providers means that they don't have stovepipe solutions anymore where integration is completely done. Who does that now? And what is Intel's role there?
If you think about how the paradigm is shifting from these vertically integrated, purpose-built solutions supplied soup to nuts by one provider to you have kind of more of a Lego blocks approach where you want to be able to choose best of breed modules in that overall solution from a number of different providers. You still need someone to pull that together. And I think that one of the surprising challenges and maybe opportunities that some of the telecom equipment and networking equipment manufacturers have found is that even as they've tried to move away from hardware as their differentiated value proposition, a company like Alcatel-Lucent absolutely made the shift to, hey, we're going to use standard off-the-shelf hardware and we're going to innovate in software. They have found that their customers still want them to be in that system integration business. So even if it's not Alcatel-Lucent hardware, they want them to source the hardware. They want them to perhaps go out and have other software components from other providers. But they still want someone that they can trust to stand behind that entire solution. So we know that there is a huge opportunity for the existing networking equipment manufacturers and telecom equipment manufacturers because they know how to do that. We also believe that some of the large system integrators, the Tech Mahindras and the Wipros and the Accentures and the IBM Global Services have an opportunity here as well to play a critical role. And those companies have increasingly been investing in a vertical practice around NFV and SDN. So we think that they're going to be a key player in the future and marrying up some of what they know about large, complex system integration projects and practices with what we know from the telecom and networking equipment manufacturers is a bit more esoteric, specific to our industry, I think is even a combination for some collaboration across some of those big SIs.
Final topic for you is one that is a really interesting one to me. We've proven out the technology value proposition. We've proven out the business value proposition, but when we get to integration, there's this challenge of actually putting it into operations, and change is never easy within an organization. How do you see that playing out within the telco arena, and what is the role of the industry in helping with that operational transition?
We often ask ourselves internally, hey, if we had all the solutions today, what would still prevent us from going faster? And it comes back to that consumability of the technology and the solutions, because the DNA within a lot of these communication service providers is that they're risk averse. Frankly, they're a highly regulated industry, so you can understand why they're risk averse. they have cultural norms and the way that they've done things that will give you those five nines of reliability so that when you've picked up that phone, you've always got the dial tone, which is a very, very different mindset from the computing and the internet. But if they don't really look at how they're going to re-engineer their business processes, if they don't consider how you move from hardware-based metrics to software-based approach to how you service your customer and how you deliver your service level agreements, then it just is a very tough problem, because if we had all the solutions today, they would still find it difficult to consume them and to deploy them. One of the things that we think is important is back to maybe the role of an SI. A lot of those large SIs have big change management practices. Mm-hmm. And this is really a change management problem. You see companies like AT&T that are trying to address this head on organizationally in their structure, where they've moved from having a separate network department and a separate IT department to, well, no, we're actually going to have one organization that takes care of all the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And we will layer in. Maybe the hardware team comes more from a network background, but the software team comes more from an IT background because more of that software DNA.
Right.
So we see that happening at some of the big service providers. The other thing that we see is even some M&A activity or some acquisitions where they're trying to acquire in a little bit more of that cloud and software kind of business model. Then I think perhaps the last area is when they see this transformation as a big business opportunity and not just as a business threat, that it does open up that conversation for, well, what are some of the things that we could do with other companies, with maybe those over-the-top players, those big hyperscale cloud providers, where we will create this innovation in our network for them to innovate on. It's not that we try to outdo those players in what they're really good at. It's that we unleash some new opportunity and capabilities by having more of those partnerships. And, you know, we feel like we can actually create some of those synergies because they're both our end customers, and we have an opportunity for even some matchmaking and ideation there in terms of new business models.
Well, Sandra, always a pleasure to talk to you. Hope you come back soon on Chip Chat to give us a sense of where we're at as we move forward in this exciting opportunity.
Thank you, Allison.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.